Bible is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to finish my series. I just had like a little bit left in me that I wanted to share about identity, about who you are in Christ. I've been sharing this since Easter, but there's just, you know, I just couldn't get away from this message, and I just have one last thing to share about it that I may not be long, I may be very long. We'll see how the Holy Spirit leads, but there's some points that I just felt needed to come out. I felt people needed to hear this morning. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's kind of been our main scripture. Last week I talked on identical condition. Today I'm going to talk about your identity and how your identity will equal your destiny. Your identity is tied, your destiny, thank you. I gave Natalie like 5 minutes to write, to put this graphic together. Isn't she amazing? She put this in like 5 minutes together. Your destiny is tied to your identity. Your destiny is tied to your identity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, you should know it by now. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Behold, all things have become new. All things have passed away. All things have become new. And verse 18 says that now all things are of God. So this new creation that you are when you're in Christ, in order for you to be in Christ, you have to be born again, saved. You can call it what you want. Jesus said you must be born again. Amen. If he said you must be, then you have to be. Amen? It's not a choice. I mean, it is your choice, but it's not something that you decide, well, not today. No, you must be. You can't get to heaven without being, must be born again. And in Romans 10:9, we know that the scripture says that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, and you believe that God raised him from the dead, you make him Lord, you shall be saved. All right, so that's where we get those terms from, because people say, well, I don't like the term saved, I don't like the term born again. Well, you have to take that up with Jesus. Those are his terms. Right. Amen? Amen? So notice here it says, if any man is in Christ, if anyone, so that means anyone, you know what anyone means? Anyone can get born again. Anyone could be in Christ. Absolutely anyone. It's not for a chosen few, it's for anyone. It's not just for the Greeks, praise the Lord, it's for anyone. Anyone is born again. Anyone is a new creation. Now, here's one of the things I want to bring out for this scripture here. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The Greek word here for new creation, it's the word to be born again. It's yegenimenos. So to be born means yenimenos. That's the Greek word that we Greeks developed. It's the word yenimenos. Now, I'll tell you where we in English use that word. Have you ever heard of the word genome or genes? Not Levi, but G-E-N-E-S, genes or the genome project, your genomes, that's the same word for yenimenos. It's the same Greek word. So for genes or the genome is the word to be born, is the word to create. The book of Genesis, right? G-E-N-E-S-I-S, it means birth, first. To be born. That's the first book of the Bible, Genesis. It comes from the Greek. Okay, so that word genome here, it says if any man is in Christ, he is a new gene, or you get new genes. You're regened, in other words. So we know we have some, our genes correlate to our DNA, correct? They create our DNA according to your genes. It creates an identity. My genes created my face, my facial features, my six-pack abs, my genes did all that, my beautiful profile. You know, when your hair begins to turn gray, your genes did that. It's in your genes. It's in your DNA. It's your, everything about you is in your genes. So when you're in Christ, the Bible says God gives you new genes. I'll say it again, man. The Bible says, Paul said that if you're in Christ, you have been given new genes. Now, my physical genes did not change. I still look the same. But my spiritual genes changed. I now have a new spiritual DNA. So now that spirit side of me is who I choose to identify with. If I identify with my spiritual genes, my spiritual DNA, that's one of total victory. That's one that overcomes. That's one that's the head and not the tail. That's the one that's created by God in Christ, conformed to His image. When we say we're conformed to His image, we're talking about the spirit man, the inside of us. So we've been given new genes, new DNA. Our spiritual identity has changed. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Your spiritual identity has changed. So you choose to identify with whoever you wish. I choose to identify first with my new spiritual DNA, my new Father in heaven. I choose to be in Christ.
Amen.
That's now my identity. So let me ask you a question. Over the last 5 years, we have seen movements around the world. I'll throw the first one at you. Anyone ever hear of Feel the Burn? That slogan, Feel the Burn. Who is that from? You could say it. Bernie Sanders, right? Bernie Sanders created, or his followers created this slogan called Feel the Burn. How about Me Too? You've heard of the Me Too movement, right? It's about women who were raped, right, or taken advantage of, correct? It's called the Me Too movement. How about Make America Great Again? Yes, so these are movements, right? Now, how about BLM? Black Lives Matter. These are all movements. Now, let me say something about movements. Every movement, if you identify with it, you're now attaching to their slogan. So when you join a movement, right? And let's say, well, Bernie Sanders didn't win, so let me use Bernie Sanders. When you identify with Bernie Sanders' movement, you begin to, you have shirts that say, Feel the Burn. People look at you as a tree hugger, as a liberal, you know. These are things that go with the Bernie Sanders movement. You know, green stuff, you know, everything is free, pay off everybody's tuition. You understand, and I'm not making fun of everybody, you understand that's what they stand for. That's the language they use. Every movement has a slogan, has a language, has something that you identify with. That's how people know you're part of that movement. If I say, you know, if you wear a red hat, you're probably with the Make America Great Again movement, correct? And you use that slogan, Make America Great Again. You use slogans that are attached to the movement. Good? Well, when you identify with Christ, you have a new slogan. You have new language that you use. You say different things. You believe different things. You've attached yourself to a different movement. I choose to be attached to the Jesus movement. I choose to be attached to the Holy Spirit movement because He really does move. He really does change lives. I identify with being in Christ. Therefore, I have new language that I speak. I say things differently, I think differently, right? And there's more like me. And the more people in our movement, the more change we can make. Do you understand? If Bernie Sanders had enough people in his movement, he would be president. The more people we get in the Jesus movement, the more people go to heaven and don't go to hell. That's a real movement. I'll wear Jesus shirts, I'll wear Jesus hat, I'll wear any, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm involved in that movement. Praise the Lord. I'm in Christ. I'm a new creature. I'm not the old guy anymore. I've chosen, for now on, I'll be a card-carrying member of the Jesus movement. So in other words, I don't use four-letter words anymore. Why? Because that's not in our movement.
Amen.
Right? Amen.
Amen.
I don't tell people to go in, jump in the lake or go to HEL double matchsticks. Why? Because that's not in our move. That's not part of our movement. You understand? What it is to be in Christ, you need to change yourself. If you, because what happens is, if you go around saying four-letter words and you associate with our movement, you make us look bad. So stop it. And in our movement, if you're sick, oh, we have the antidote. We know Jesus Christ is the healer. So there really shouldn't be many sick among us, because in our movement, the healing is available. There shouldn't be many poor among us, because prosperity is available. Provision is available. There shouldn't be many down and depressed among us, because peace is available. Joy is available. Strength is available. Overcoming resurrection power is available if you're in this movement. Only if you're in this movement. But if you choose to identify with us, stop saying opposite. Be a Christian. Be all in. Be all in other words. Don't be half in, be all in. Amen? Dress accordingly. Don't show your flesh. We don't need to see it. That's a different movement. Amen. All right, go to Acts chapter 9 a second. What I wanted to do is just take a look at these two individuals in the Bible and how they changed their identity. They got involved in the Jesus movement. I'll call it the Jesus movement. It's not, you know, I know every 10 years there's a new movement, the charismatic movement, the word of faith movement, the healing movement, right? We got all these movements. Jesus is the man. So I just call him the Jesus movement. All right, so Acts chapter 9, we see an individual called Paul. Everybody know Paul? All right. So it says here in verse 1, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Let's just go through and just pick out some things. I'm going to talk about him and some other guy. It says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him of the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way or the movement, he says, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone round him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So he finally did, and then Ananias the prophet showed up. Verse 13, he went to see Ananias. Watch this. Then Ananias answered, said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, watch this next few verses. Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, number one, Gentiles, number two, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So notice, Paul has a destiny, right? Paul's destiny is, number one, to the Gentiles, number two, to the kings, and number three, to the children of Israel. Got it? That's his destiny. But in order for his destiny to be fulfilled, he has to change his identity. Amen. He can no longer, listen, he can no longer be Saul. He can no longer be Saul. Because he realizes, listen, no one else in the Bible talks about being in Christ or in him more than Paul. 150 times in the New Testament, Paul talks about what it is to be in Christ, in him. Okay? So Paul realizes he gets saved supernaturally. He has an experience with God. His life literally changes so much that he says this, that he says, I can no longer be Saul, but now I have to be Paul. And in Acts chapter 13, the Holy Ghost hits him and knocks the S off his name. And he picks up a pea and he puts the pea back on his name. In other words, he's this. He says, don't ever call me Saul again. That's the old man. That's the man who died in Christ. When I got saved, I completely changed. He says, from now on, you call me Paul. That's an experience with God. It's such a radical experience that he literally changed his name. I'm not Saul anymore, I'm Paul. Amen. Amen. That's how we need to be. When God changes your life, change all of it. Amen. Be all in. Amen. If you're not all in, you're not part of the movement. God doesn't like, you know, you have one. What did he say in the book of Revelation? He says you are neither hot nor cold. He said, I don't like that. Either you're all in or you're all out. If you're all out, I can fix you. I can slap you around. If you're all in, be all in. But if you're halfway, he says, no, we ain't playing that game right here. This is not what our movement's about. So let's fast forward now to Acts chapter 25. So Paul now goes out to the Gentile world, right? He goes to the Galatians, to the Philippians, the Thessalonians. He goes all over Antioch, you know, the whole Asian continent of Turkey and all Ephesus and to Rome. I mean, he's everywhere. He preaches to all the Gentiles, and he preaches to the children of Israel. So there's one thing left for him, and that's to preach to the kings. Acts chapter 25. You good? All right. Acts chapter 25. Let's go to verse, let's see. So Paul is brought, verse 21, 25, 21. It says, but when Paul appealed to be reserved for the decision of Augustus, he commanded him to be kept till he could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I also would like to hear the man myself. Tomorrow, he said, you shall hear me. So the next day, when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp. Don't you like that word? Pomp? What is great pomp? It means, you know, they had their hair, you know, the feathers in their things. They had all their outfits on, right? They had their suits on. They had their little bow ties. They had their hankies coming out. They looked really good. That's just pomp. The world likes to be full of pomp. All the world can show you is pomp. You can use that word this week, pomp. You ever hear pomp and circumstance? Right? That's when the whole guard comes in with all their do-do-do-do-do-do-do. So here's the Roman soldiers come in with great pomp. Or, in other words, they're trying to show off to Paul. Look what we got. Okay? Now, so him and Bernice, his wife, come in with great pomp and had entered the auditorium with the commanders and the prominent men of the city. And Festus command Paul was brought in. And Festus said, King Agrippa, all the men who are here present with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem here, crying out, he is not fit any longer to live. So Paul has been brought for sentencing. He's in chains. I want you to think about this. He's in chains. He's brought before the king for sentencing, right? They are full of pomp, and he's in chains. He's bound because of the movement. He is bound because of who he has identified with. Everybody good so far? He's been ripped already, beat up. I'm sure, you know, his back has been ripped up. He's got 39 lashes twice, right? So he's been bruised, beat. They've tried to kill him, run him out of town. You name it. Everything happened to Paul. And Jesus said, you'll suffer these things for my name's sake. So he's already suffered. So the one last thing that needs to take place in his life is to stand before kings and preach the gospel. Great? All right, verse chapter 26. He says, then Agrippa said to Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. So Paul stretched out his hand and answered himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. I'm a happy man. King, this is the happiest day of my life. I want you to think, let me give you a different translation. The Greek kind of says this, says, I have actually congratulated myself. He says, I've just patted myself on the back. This is a wonderful day. Can you imagine? You have stripped of all your earthly belongings. Everything you own has been, you have given up for the gospel. You've sold everything. You have nothing to your name. You are now in chains. You've been beat up. You've been ridiculed, persecuted by your own people, and you're standing before a dude, a king, who's full of pomp. Yes. And you're the happy guy.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm a, oh, king. He's standing before the king in shekels, like this. He says, oh, king, it's a glorious day. I am extremely happy today. And King Agrippa is saying, what in the world is wrong with this guy? Yeah, he deserves death. He's a loony. He says, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs, which I have to do with Jews, manner of life, so on and so on. Then guess what? He goes on. And in verse 14, and we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Guess what he did? He shared his testimony. He says, Saul, he says, King Agrippa, I was on a road to Damascus one day, and a bright light shined around me, and I heard a voice from heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against the goads? Then he shared, he continues. He goes, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I am appeared for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of these things which you have seen, of all things I will yet reveal, and I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now know. And he goes on and on. He says, therefore, King Agrippa, look at verse 19, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but I declared first to those in Damascus, Jerusalem, throughout all the regions of Judea, and all these things. He says, for these reasons the Jews seized and templed me. He says, and King Agrippa, finally this day, that last piece has been fulfilled. I stand before kings. He says, my destiny has been fulfilled. Let me say this, if Paul did not experience God on the road to Damascus, if he didn't change his identity, he would never have fulfilled his destiny. Your destiny is tied to your identity with Christ. The more you identify with him, the more God will reveal your life to you. People wonder, what am I doing here? Why am I in this world? Am I just working 9 to 5, go home, retire, then die? What is the purpose of life? Why am I here? God says this, the more you identify with him, the more you'll know what you're called to do. The more you'll find reason for living. The final piece of the puzzle for Paul's life was being fulfilled. I'm standing before kings. In other words, what Jesus said is 100% right. Amen. And he says this, he says, and I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. How many of us have been disobedient to the heavenly vision that God has given you? How many of us let things get in the way of the heavenly vision that God has given us? God told Janice and I to start a church 26 years ago. We did it. Yeah, it's been tough. We've had challenges. We've struggled. But we weren't disobedient to the heavenly vision. Amen. Is there more? There's a lot more yet to do. Let me tell you a quick testimony. Many years ago, probably about 20 years ago, actually 30 years ago when I got saved and I went to Bible school, one of the things that God put in my heart, and I said this, I said, I want to go preach in Greece one day. My heart's desire was to preach in Greece. I want to go to, you know, the land of my fathers and go preach in Greece. And, you know, 26 years ago, we started the church. Nothing was happening. Nothing was open. You know, I had no opportunity. I just kept saying, one day I want to go preach in Greece. It's just on my heart to preach in Greece. I want to go to the people that had the gospel. and who my lineage comes from. And so I was praying with a friend of mine, a minister friend of mine, and I said, hey, just believe God with me. It's just been on my heart. One day I'm going to go preach in Greece. I want to preach to my people. So I met a man who came minister in our church about 15 years ago, and he said, hey, he says, we were just sharing ministers that we knew, and he knew this guy in Greece. He says, do you know so-and-so? He was an American guy. I said, no, I don't. He goes, well, actually, he's in Greece. He has a Bible school. I said, what? I said to him, you know, I would love to preach in Greece one day. He goes, it's a done deal.
Amen, amen.
In that one little conversation, I was able to go to Greece, worked it out, and I preached in Greece.
Amen.
And it was a dream fulfilled.
Glory, glory, God.
So God will give you dreams and visions if you're not disobedient to the heavenly vision that he gave you. Amen?
Amen.
Go to Judges chapter 6. One more. Judges chapter 6. Let's take a look at this guy called Gideon. Everybody know Gideon?
Yes,
I'm sure you know his Bible, right? He wrote a really nice Bible. Just kidding. Get it? Gideon's Bible. You know? You don't know the Gideons? If you ever go to a hotel room, just open the drawer, and there's a Bible that says Gideon's. RRR. Okay. The Gideons. Judges chapter 6. There's a guy named Gideon. Verse 11. Judges 6 verse 11. You there? Take your time. Just hurry up. Do-do-do-do-do. Good? All right. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. It says, now an angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. Now watch verse 12. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. He says, the Lord is with you, champion. You champion Gideon. Go over to verse 15. So Gideon responds. So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. listen to Gideon's response after an angel says, hey, you mighty man of valor, you champion of champions. That's what he called him, a champion of champions. Gideon says this in response. He goes, are you sure you're talking to me? He says, my family are the worst in Israel, and I'm the worst son in the worst family in Israel. I'm the worst of the worst of the worst. I'm just the dumbest of the dumb. Nobody has ever spoken to me like that. You must mean another family. It's like somebody would say, oh, he comes to Mateo and he says, you mighty man of valor. And Mateo would say, I'm a Cosimus, Mesa Cosimus. You sure you're talking? We're the worst family in Norwalk, and I'm the worst kid, the worst grandkid of the worst family in the worst town. You know, if Norwalk was the worst town, in the worst state, if you get the drift, right? So Gideon is saying, I'm the worst of the worst of the worst. You're not talking about me. He goes, no, I see you as God sees you. And in God's eyes, you're a mighty man of valor. You're a champion of champions. Gideon had a choice. Do I identify with what God just called me, or do I identify with my family? That's our choice today. Who you identify with. Listen, the moment he identified with what God called him, he fulfilled his destiny, and he took 300 men and conquered them. He took 300 men and conquered them. In other words, when you identify with God and how he calls you, how he sees you, how he thinks of you, you will conquer anything the devil throws at you, and you will fulfill your destiny on this earth. Paul did it. He cut his name, changed it from Saul to Paul, identified with the vision.
Yes.
That's right. Amen.
And he even said it, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. That's why at the end of my life, I'm the happiest man on the planet. And then Gideon, the same thing. Gideon came up with excuse after excuse after excuse. Stop the excuses. If you're in Christ, you have no more excuse. Don't even throw at God. Well, I don't have a degree. I don't have a diploma. You don't know what I do for a living. My family's got a bad reputation. My dad's a drunk. My mom's a this. You know, my grandparents were the same. It goes back for years. And God says, stop it.
Amen.
Just stop it.
Amen.
That's not who I see you as.
Amen.
And when you're in Christ, you're a new creature.
Yes.
All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It's time for us to change our identity so we can fulfill our destiny.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet and let's shout a minute. Let's just shout and thank God for what he's done for us. Say, I'm a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I have new DNA. I identify with Christ. I'm a mighty man or woman of valor. I'm a champion of champions. I'm an overcomer in Christ. I'm in the Jesus movement. I speak differently, think differently, I act differently. I'm righteous because of the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood.